fell back into unbelief. Why did I fall back into unbelief? After I'd made the decision to believe, after I'd made the decision not to be afraid, and I'd made the decision to believe, the Holy Spirit had told me clearly, Henry, make the decision. And when I did, things changed. Jackie started to improve dramatically. The depression left from me, fear lifted from me, sadness lifted from me, and joy settled in my heart. And I felt like I'd gone through Jordan. I was on the other side. I was praising God from the other side, even though nothing had changed in the natural. Everything just appeared to be the same. Why did I slip back? Let me explain something about unbelief. All right, so listen, because we're going to focus on that. This segment is going to be about unbelief. Unbelief will come because of ignorance or a lack of knowledge of the word. Two together, ignorance and lack of knowledge of the word. Do you remember Jesus went to his own hometown? I think I might even have the scripture for you. Mark 6, if I have the scripture, put it up. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, there it is. He could do no mighty works there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, the Word made flesh, is in his own hometown. And he could not do any mighty works. Understand something. It didn't say he would not. Look at what it says. He could not. He could not. The only way that he would know that he could not is if he tried and failed. Now, you won't hear that. You won't hear that, that Jesus actually failed and didn't get healing. That he actually tried to minister to people and didn't get the job done. Hello? Take a deep breath. It said he could not. God in the flesh was unable to help people because of their unbelief. You get that? All right, you need to know something. You need to know something. If Jesus stood here, right here in front of you today, and offered to lay his hands upon you, and you were in unbelief, you would not get healed. So that's the first thing. The second thing, unbelief comes because of wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine. Now, I don't want to shoot down other churches and other denominations. But let me tell you, not many churches and denominations teach the Word of God concerning healing. They teach you can get saved by the blood of Jesus and the cross, but they forget the part where healing is part of the atonement. That by His stripes you are healed. They leave it off. They leave it off because of their failure to see results. So they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to mention it because they don't want to be embarrassed. And so they make all these stupid stories. Well, it died with the last apostles. The healing is not for today anymore. We now have the word. They make all of these excuses about why healing is not for today. So wrong doctrine will cause unbelief. Do you understand? You could come into the promise with wrong doctrine and you'll be an unbeliever in that realm. Unbelief. And the third one, of course, that wasn't my problem. I had the right doctrine. But why did I slip into unbelief? I slipped into unbelief because of the third reason unbelief comes. The third reason unbelief comes is because of sense knowledge. Five physical senses. The five physical senses. You know what they are. They send information to your brain, and that's what they were designed to do. But when that information hits your brain, it triggers something off in your brain. All right? And I want you to listen carefully. The imagination and the thoughts that you have trigger emotions. And those emotions are based on the information that was received by your mind through the five physical senses. And those results, what was triggered, the fear and those emotions, they cause doubt and unbelief. People, if you leave now and you remember what I just said, you might save your life. It might be the most important thing that you've heard already today. Your imagination and your thoughts have to be controlled. So many times, thousands of times, it's relentless. It is relentless. My mind wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop. It kept on deviating, and going away from the word and the results I want to believe for from the word, and it began to make pictures of me without Jackie. Pictures of Jackie being dead. What would it look like in church? Thousands upon thousands of thoughts and images. You cannot even, in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping, I wake up and there it is and have to deal with it. How many know what I'm talking about? You've been there. You've been there. So I'm preaching to the choir. One of the problems that I was facing, and it is, I think, a problem that a lot of people have, is that we pray for healing and we expect to see immediate results. In other words, we expect to see a miracle. And when we don't see the miracle, we miss the healing and we go into doubt and we believe God didn't hear our prayers. Do you remember, well, the first service I mentioned about the nobleman's son? Remember that? And when the servants met him the next day, he asked about his son, and they said to him, he began to amend, which didn't mean he was healed. It means he started to show signs of recovery. You follow now? And you see, many of us, when we pray for something like this, and whether it's financial, it doesn't matter, or if it's healing, it doesn't matter. What happens is that you pray, and you expect to see, okay, God, okay, show me something. Where is the result? Show me something. And immediately, because you don't see something, your physical senses tell your mind it didn't happen. And your mind gives you this imagination it didn't happen. You go back into fear, doubt, and unbelief. Well, that's what was happening to me. As I said to you, I'm facing this 24/7. I'm sleeping next to her in hospital 75 days. Through ICU, it doesn't matter. I'm there. Through the rehab, I'm there with her. I sleep next to her in the room right now. I'm constantly get up 4 or 5 times a night to roll her and to turn her. Whatever's needed, I'm there for her. Okay, that's why I'm saying I'm supernaturally being sustained by your prayers. There's no way somebody can sleep that little and be up and still do what's got to be done and function during the day. But when you're looking at the problem for 24/7 and it's getting worse as you're looking at it, you have great difficulty staying in faith. Because your physical senses keep telling you, and then your mind goes off on a tangent, and then you've struck with fear, doubt, and unbelief. Yeah. Guys, I don't know how to tell you this. But you think that you're in faith. You think you have faith until you're faced with such a challenge. And your back is against the wall, and you can't, and you don't know where to go. And you've got to make the decisions. You've got to make the decisions. You try and stay in faith in the spirit realm, but you're living in the natural realm. You understand what I'm saying? It's a very, very difficult position to be in. I remember back in South Africa many years ago, I came home one night off to work, and as I was driving home, there was this big open field in front of our house, and the fire had moved across like one of the wildfires we have in California had moved through, and this huge tree had caught a light. But as I drove past, I could see in the heart of this tree was a light, was burning. And I just like, whoa, that's an amazing sight to see. There was a flames coming out of the tree. The next morning, as I was going to work, I drove past and the tree looked absolutely fine. I was shocked. I thought, I saw you burn last night. You're on fire. I just drove my car right across the bushveld. I just drove right across. I wasn't going to walk that far. I just drove my car into where, and I drove right up to the tree. And I looked at this tree. It was a massive tree about this size. And there was this big hole in the tree. Charcoal burnt out. And I look at the leaves are perfect. And as I'm staring at it, the Holy Spirit said to me, right there, I'd been praying for Jackie who had shingles, yeah, in the nerves, and blisters all over her body. And I'd laid hands on and prayed and cursed it, and there was no change. No change. And I'm in this dilemma I'm telling you about right now. And the Holy Spirit said to me, the tree is dead. But it's going to take 3 to 5 days for you to see the external death. It's in the tree. It's going to come out. And even as you've cursed the shingles Jackie had, it's going to take 3 to 5 days before you see it working itself out. And you see, here's the thing. Is when we pray sometimes, we expect an immediate result. In the meantime, the healing has occurred. God has answered the prayer. It's going to take 3 to 5 days or whatever for it to work itself out. You with me? Okay. One morning, I mean, you know, 10 months is a long time to deal with this. I was sitting there and Hayne was about to leave for work, and I just said to him, you know, if only there was a crumb of improvement, the slightest indication, just a crumb of improvement, the tiniest crumb, that we had turned the corner, that we'd hit bottom, that we were coming back, just the tiniest crumb, I'd be so encouraged. How many know what I'm talking about? There comes a time when you're just like, God, give me a breath. I'm under the water so long. I need a breath. Just these waves are pounding me. I've got to get up and get to air. I need some air. And an hour later, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the wisdom of God. You know, if you're open, God will instruct you. God will help you. God wants you to be healed, and He wants your loved ones healed. He's not against you. He's for you. But you need to be open to receive His instruction. An hour later, the Holy Spirit said to me, Henry, if you need a crumb to encourage you, you're not in faith. And I go, you know, it's like that kind of wisdom you don't need. Okay, tell me something else. And I go, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit just said to me, if you're depending on what you see to determine whether she's healed, you're looking to your five physical senses to validate your faith. Your faith does not to be validated by your senses. Your faith is determined by what the Word of God says and by the Word only. He's your comforter. He's your teacher. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. And I mean, it doesn't matter how bad things are. If you honestly are open and you're honestly ready to hear the wisdom of God, He will speak to you in your situation. He will do that. See, if you're depending upon what you can see or what you can feel to let you know that you're healed or that God heard your prayer, you're absolutely not in faith. You're depending upon your senses to do it. So, Amanda, who's works with us in our home, very precious daughter of mine. Jackie showed some improvement. There was this improvement that happened. And Amanda was just jumping for joy, just so excited. And I said to her, Amanda, I can't get excited about the improvement. Because if I get excited about the improvement, I also have to get sad for deterioration. See, that joy is an emotion that's responding from the five physical senses. I'm seeing a result. Do you understand something? You have to isolate yourself. You have to move yourself away from the five physical senses. So whether there's an improvement or whether there's a deterioration, it doesn't affect you. Because if it does affect you, that means you're going to move out of faith. It's a hard statement. And she said, oh, man, I'm just so happy. I said, I know, sweetheart. I know. But you need to understand where I'm standing, where I'm coming from right here, right now. So, whether you get bad news or good news, it mustn't move you. Especially bad news, if you're believing God. I mean, look at Peter. Remember the story? Peter walks on the water in Matthew 14:28. Peter answered Jesus, said, Lord, remember he's out in the nighttime and Jesus comes walking along in the middle of the storm? Come walking on the water. And Peter says Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Command me to come to you on the water. When I ask you, what is Jesus going to do now? Is he going to say, it's not me, Peter, stay in the boat? Peter painted himself into a corner. Jesus has nothing he can say. Jesus got to say, come on, dummy. Come on out on the water. Of course it's me. Come. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Everyone say, Peter walked on the water. Say it one more time. Peter walked on the water. Do you know anybody other than Jesus and Peter who walked on water? No. So this is quite a big deal. He walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, there's no doubt that Peter had faith, sufficient faith to walk on the water. right? But he felt the wind and saw the waves, and he became afraid. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? He became afraid, so his imagination was triggered, his thoughts were triggered by his five physical senses. He felt and he saw, and he became afraid, because the information that hit his brain said, you can't do this. But Jesus just said he could. In fact, he was doing it. It's not like you're going to try. He is actually in his miracle, just like I have been in the miracle with Jackie. Then the signs and physical senses and information hits my brain, and it triggers faith and doubt and unbelief. And I begin to sink, just like Peter began to sink. Now notice it said he began to sink. It's a slow process. Hey, have you ever stood on water? You sink quickly. And listen, let me ask you this question. What did the wind and the waves have to do with him walking on the water in the first place? Before he came out of the boat, did he not see the waves? Did he not feel the wind? Wasn't this a boisterous thing that was going on? It just didn't happen when he got in the water. It was already happening. He already considered the circumstances. The wind and the waves have nothing to do with you walking on the water. You think it was a calm day? You could walk on your pool? You think it was calm? You could walk in the pool? No. So the wind and the waves had nothing to do with it. But what it was sense knowledge that hit his mind, hit his brain, and triggered a reaction. And the reaction it triggered was doubt. Doubt. Unbelief. And that's the thing that you have to deal with. He had his miracle and he lost it. You got to understand that. Probably everybody in this room, and me included, have had our miracle and lost it. And the reason we lost it is because something in the natural, one of our five physical senses, gave us information that was contrary to the word, and we believed it. We believed the contrary information because somehow we have come to depend upon our five physical senses and have elevated it above the word of God. We depend more on our five physical senses. We believe more what our five physical senses tell us than we do what the word of God says, and it'll sink you every time, just like it sunk Peter. Oh, you missed a good place to praise the Lord. Tell your brain to praise God. Do something. Show me you're alive out there. Show me you're alive. Okay. Let me take you to another one. Why were the disciples unable to cast the demon spirit out of this demon-possessed boy? Let's pick it up in Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, Jesus just came down the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew. He just come down with Mark, Peter, James, and John. Three of them were up there. He just come down. So nine of the disciples are at the bottom of the mountain. Okay? He comes down. There's a multitude. And there's a man that comes to him kneeling down and says to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's epileptic. He suffers severely, for he often falls in the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They obviously tried and failed. They just didn't say, well, we can't do this. Sorry, we can't do this. Did they? They tried. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Don't get heavy and hard on yourself if you try and fail. You're in good company. Nine of the apostles did. They failed. Tried and failed. Could not cure. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to him privately, the nine that had failed, and said, why could we not cast it out? They were puzzled at their failure. And truly, I have been puzzled at my failure. Do you understand? Why would I be puzzled? Because for those who believe in healing and have seen miracles and signs and wonders in their whole lifetime for 50 years would be puzzled when it didn't work. As were these apostles. They were puzzled because it didn't work. Why? Because they'd done it hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. They'd been successful. And Jesus said to them in verse 20, because of your unbelief. because of your unbelief. You see, Jesus had given his disciples authority and power to cast out demons. In fact, go to Matthew 10 real quick. He called his disciples together, all 12 of them, and he gave them power of unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He said in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. So they'd been successful. You know, when they returned from this trip that they'd been on, they came back, they were rejoicing. The demons were subject to them. Remember that? And Jesus said, don't rejoice about that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. So they had been successful, but in this particular case, they tried and failed. They had had signs and wonders in their ministry, but not now. Why not now? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. So now, this is not unbelief in the recipient's heart. This is unbelief in the minister's heart. Let's say that one more time. This is not unbelief in the person you're praying for. It's unbelief in you, the prayer. Two different places. Go to the same story. You're going to pick it up in Mark chapter 9. The father had been asked by Jesus, how long has he suffered from this? And he said, from childhood. And often has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now the father's in doubt. Why is the father in doubt? He's in doubt because he asked the disciples to do something and they couldn't. Nine of the apostles couldn't cast a stupid demon out. So now the father's thinking, I watched you guys heal the sick. I've been standing in the crowd. I've seen other demons come out. He knew they were doing it. He could see there was a church service going on while Jesus was up on the mountain. Thousands of people there being healed and demons have been cast out. So he brings them to the ministers and he says, heal my child. And they fail. All nine of them give it a go. And they fail. So now he says, your followers couldn't do it. But if you, can you? So is he in doubt or is he in faith? He's in doubt. He's in doubt. Can you blame him? You can't blame him. He's in doubt. He said, but if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Now, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible that we quote so often is used by Jesus to this father. And we never use it in its context. We always take it out of context. Jesus said to him in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How many times have you said all things are possible to him who believes? How many times have you used that scripture? Do you realize that was Jesus talking to the father of a demoniac child and he was in doubt? He was in doubt whether Jesus could do it. And what Jesus said to him was, even you're in doubt. If you can believe, Father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Do you notice? Do you notice he didn't say, if you have faith? He said, if you can believe. Believe is the opposite of doubt. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's where that saying comes from. That's where that scripture comes from. Now, that is the voice of God to you this morning. Say that. This is the voice of God to me. If I believe, all things are possible to me because I believe. That's the voice of God speaking to you today. Take it as your own, as if Jesus is standing in front of you, telling you in your doubt and in your unbelief situation that you're in right now, if you can believe, all things are possible to you who believe. And the father, hearing this, immediately cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. What? What? You just said, if I can believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What do we have here? Is this an oxymoron? Is this a guy who's double-minded? What do we have here? What we have here is you and me. We believe and we unbelieve. Just because you believe doesn't mean you don't have unbelief. And just because you have unbelief doesn't mean you don't have belief. Because you can be in belief and in a second of time, bam, you're into unbelief. You'll be walking on water in your miracle, and within a moment's time, you're sinking. You got into doubt and fear and unbelief. Just because you're in faith, don't think it's there to stay. Just because you're in unbelief, don't think it's there to stay. You will vacillate in and out between faith and unbelief, between doubt and fear the whole time. You're going to go like this the whole time, but I'm going to show you how to get out of it. I'm not going to leave you in that position. There is a way out. There is a way to get out of this situation. Now, let's go back to Jesus talking to his disciples. Same story, but we're going back to Matthew 17. Jesus just said to them in verse 20, Jesus just said to them, it's because of your unbelief. Why can't we cast it out? Because of your unbelief. And then Jesus makes this statement to his disciples. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Okay, mustard seed faith moves mountains. In other words, Jesus just said to his disciples, guys, it's not that you don't have faith. Just a mustard seed faith. Even Peter had tiny faith. Jesus said to him, oh, ye of little faith. Guys, I never walked on water yet. Peter walks on water and he gets accused of having little faith. So if I say to you each time it's because you have little faith, don't get upset with me. Peter walked on water with little faith. It wasn't a matter of faith. It was a matter of unbelief. He was sunk because of the unbelief. He wasn't sunk because of his faith. And Jesus just said, man, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say. You will say. You will say if you have faith. If it's not coming out of your mouth, you do not have faith. If you're not telling your mountain to move, if you're not declaring you healed, you do not have faith. I don't care what you tell me. I will know you have faith because of what comes out of your mouth. I will hear your faith by what you say. If you're not saying it, you don't have faith. If you have faith, you will say to this mountain, be moved, and it will obey you, and nothing will be impossible to you. Voice of God to you. Right there, there's the voice of God to you. So why didn't these boys get the demon out? Why did they slip into unbelief? Well, I think I've already told you. Because of the five physical senses. What was the five physical senses? How were they triggered? Because the boy was manifesting. He was lying on the floor foaming, screaming demon screams. Demon screams rolling around in the dust, foaming at the mouth, going on. And they're trying to cast the demon out, and this boy is going on in front of them. And guess what? I think they got afraid. You know, demon people jumped on people and ripped their clothes and beat them up. You know, man? It's in the Bible. Okay? I think they got afraid. This is not listening to us. And so they began to doubt. You know what they doubted? Listen to me. They doubted the authority they were given by Jesus in Matthew 10. Go out. This is the authority I'm giving you. Cast out demons, heal the sick. The authority and the anointing to do it. Now this demon won't come out. And suddenly they're doubting the authority that has been given to us. How many of you know that we've been given authority to use the name of Jesus Christ? And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. When we doubt, we doubt the authority given to us in the name of Jesus, and that's what triggers the problem. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Are you listening to me? You gone home already? Okay. Can I keep going? All right. So, five physical senses caused the unbelief. It robbed them, as it did Peter, of God's miracle. It robbed them of God's best. It robbed them of what God had planned for them. And hear me, church, it's robbing you and me every day of what God had promised for us and God plans for us and God's blessings for us. We're being robbed from it because we're allowing our five physical senses to dominate our life instead of standing on the Word and trusting the Word of God alone. We're looking to be supported by what we see. So they were robbed. See, what happened is their unbelief negated their faith. It negated their faith. It neutralized their faith. They had faith, but unbelief overpowered it. Okay. I think I have one more example to show you, and that's Abraham. Abraham faced impossible circumstances, as we know. We'll pick a story up in Romans 4:16. Because of time, I'll just pick up some of the lines. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Very important statement. Dropping now to verse 17. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Verse 19. Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You see, healing is something we receive by grace through faith. Every promise of God is received by grace through faith, which means you can't earn healing. It doesn't matter how long you pray. It doesn't matter how long you fast. You can't change your financial situation just by hoping or by trying to work so hard. If it's going to be by grace, by faith, it's not what you work for. It's by grace, unearned. You got it? Okay. You need to understand it. That's how it comes. It doesn't matter how critical your situation. God's not moved by your critical situation. You can't go and beg and plead from God. Listen, look how badly I'm off. Look at the terrible situation. Be compassionate. Help me. He's not moved that way. He was moved by compassion when he sent Jesus to the cross. Okay? So, God calls those things that be not as though they were. Until you, listen carefully, until you call yourself healed, while you still have the symptoms, you will not get it. I'm going to say this again, because I told you at the beginning of the sermon, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you will not get it. You will not get your healing. I'm not asking you to lie that you have no symptoms. I'm telling you to call those things that be not as though they were. You have to call yourself healed, even though you're in pain, even though you're aching, even though your body is trembling, even though you have a kidney problem, even though you have this other thing going on, and you have this going on, and the knee problem. You have to call yourself healed in Jesus' name. Irrespective of how you feel, irrespective of what you see. And if you won't do it, you will not receive your healing. You just will not. If you're waiting to feel better before you say, I'm healed, if you're waiting to see results before you say, I'm healed, you're not going to get it because you're not operating in faith. You're operating on your five physical senses. Your faith is in your five physical senses, and you know how they vacillate. You can't put your faith in your senses. Your faith has got to be in God's word and God's word alone. Please remember what I'm telling you. It's life and death. It's life and death for you. So, Abraham appears is that he walked in faith this whole time. For 24 years, he walked in faith, but he didn't have a child. He didn't get the child. Why not? Why not? Why didn't he get the child? Because you see, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, right? Things unseen. It's the evidence of things unseen. That's what I've been trying to tell you. You have to disregard your circumstances entirely and depend on the word as your evidence, and then only will your faith begin to work. So, the Bible says Abraham didn't waver at God's promise through unbelief, even though he knew the problems. But now, wait a minute. I just want to, just wait a minute. Just check this out a minute. The Bible says he considered his body 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Those were circumstances that would forbid the miracle to come to pass that God promised him. So he did consider them. But he didn't allow the circumstances to affect him. So, did he stay in faith the whole time? The answer is no. And you've never heard this before, and I've never said it before. And I'm guaranteeing you've never heard it from anybody else before, but I'm going to tell you now. I have proof that he got into doubt and unbelief. You want the proof? Hagar is the proof. If Sarah was to give birth to the promised child from Abraham, what was he doing with Hagar? It was a doubt. It was unbelief, and he went to find and solve the problem another way. He went to his five physical senses to solve the problem, and he wasn't trusting God at that time. It's obvious. But yay, thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me that our darling Abraham, faith, father of faith, had the same problem. He had the same problem. I'm in good company. 24 years the boy went without. And then he tried to help God. He tried to solve the problem himself. He went to his five physical senses to resolve the problem. And God said, you know what? Before you father a whole bunch of people that I don't want, okay, you're trying to make a nation on your own, multi-nation, I've got to stop you. I'm going to change your name. First of all, come out here, look at the stars. And look at the dust. Why we look at the dust? Why look at the stars? Because you need to change your imagination. You gotta change what you're thinking. You see? Because you're thinking down here. You're thinking one. You need to think the stars. You need to think much bigger. And it's not working. God can't get him to change his imagination. So he said, okay, you know what? I'm going to change your name. You're not going to be Abraham anymore. You're going to be Abraham. You're going to be father of nations. Every time you use the name, it's going to be, I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of the nations. Guess what just happened? Now his faith and his mouth are lined up. For the first time, if you have faith, you will say it. Now he's saying, I'm the father of nations. I'm the father of multitude. It only took 9 or 10 months. That's all it took. From the time he started to say it before Isaac was born. People, you have got to get your mouth lined up with your heart. You've got to get your faith lined up with your heart. You see, he was operating. He was obviously in faith because he was declared righteous because of his faith. He believed God and he was declared righteous, but that was 25 years before. And then he had this topsy-turvy experience where he got into doubt. Because why? He didn't see the results he was expecting. He actually comes to God and says, so what do you want to give me since I go childless? How's that for an opening prayer? Let's talk. Okay, I'm childless. You promised me a whole family. You promised me a nation. I'm childless. My heir's going to Eleazar. God said, all right, let's change your name. Enough already. Okay, last scripture. Hopefully I can get it done. Jesus. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, does not doubt in his heart, does not doubt in his heart. Right in the middle of this great faith statement. But believes. Doesn't doubt, but believes. See that? Doesn't doubt, but believes. Do you see that? Yep. Believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Notice it didn't say he'll have whatever he believes. I just camped there a moment. Jesus said he'll have what he says. If you don't say it, you won't get it. I told you that. If you don't say it, you won't get it. Until you start to say it, you won't get it. Because you know what? You will not want to say it. You'll go, yeah, but what happened didn't happen. And then I made a fool of myself because I said it. And I told somebody else I said it. And it didn't happen. Now I'm looking like an idiot. You are an idiot. You already are. You just open your mouth and we'll know. Everybody around you will know. Because you're not in faith, dummy. The fact that you're thinking if it won't come to pass, what's going to happen? You're not in faith. Do you understand? You're not in faith. You have to believe with your heart and say with your mouth. And you have to believe what I say with my mouth will come to pass. You're already doubting it. You haven't even said it. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Notice Jesus emphasized doubt in the middle of this instruction to us. He said, do not doubt. Why? Because we know doubt undermines the faith. Doubt will cripple your faith. Doubt will take you from faith to negate it and you will not receive. Doubt is destructive. It is powerful. It will neutralize you. You can't play with it. And doubt comes because you're looking at what you're seeing and you're allowing that to influence you. Now, just because you're believing doesn't mean doubt won't show up. And just because you're in unbelief doesn't mean that there's no faith. We've seen now that they can operate together. But the doubt and unbelief neutralizes your faith. That's what it does. You can be in faith and it neutralizes it. True faith doesn't prevent unbelief from showing up. I'm going to show you how to do it. See, unbelief can hit you in a moment's time. In a second, unbelief can come. If you allow your thoughts to entertain what your five physical senses just told them. If it's contrary to the word, and you allow your thoughts to entertain it, it will immediately produce fear and doubt and unbelief, and you will lose it. You can be walking in a miracle 1 minute and be down under the water in the next. Boy, I hope you're getting this. I just hope you're seeing it. You see, here's the thing. You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. And most of us think we can. When I'm thinking this way, I'm just going to change the way I'm thinking. I'm just going to change the way I'm thinking. And you're just trying to think it the other way. You're not Dr. Leaf. Only one person watches her. Okay. She's not that famous then. You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. I'm going to tell you how you fight thoughts. With words. I'll prove it to you. I want you, everybody, to start counting in their mind from 1 to 10. Start counting right now. Tell me what your name is. Nobody has a name. Isn't that crazy? Nobody has a name. You disobedient bunch of sausages. Why didn't you say your name? I asked you to tell me what your name is. Well, you didn't tell me what your name because you were busy counting. Had you given me your name, you'd have stopped counting. You can't do both. When you're thinking the negative thoughts, the only way to break it is to speak the word of God out of your mouth. The voice of God just hits you right there. You can't change what you're thinking. You change it by saying. And what you want to say is what the word says. In the middle of the night, I'm tormented with thoughts that come to me. And out of my mouth comes, Jackie is healed by the stripes of Jesus. She's been made whole. While I'm sleeping, it just comes out of my mouth. She's been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I decree that she's whole. God's word cannot return to him void because it has accomplished that to which he sent it. No word of God is void of power. Thank you, Lord, that the greater one is in me. He's speaking right through me right now. Thank you, Lord, that in the world I'll have trials and tribulations, but you told me not to be afraid because it shall by no means hurt me because you've overcome the world. I have a shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. I've submitted myself to God and I'm resisting the devil and he's fleeing from me. Greater is he that is in me. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. By the stripes of Jesus, she's been healed. She's been raised up. And if he who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he'll quicken my mortal body. He'll quicken Jackie's mortal body. We're coming out of this. We're more than conquerors, and all things work together to good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And this too will glorify God, and we're living on the other side, giving glory to God, and we're praising, and I'm getting stronger in my faith because I'm praising him in the middle of my sleep. In the middle of my sleep. I will not allow my mind to go down the dirt road. I will not allow the imaginations that the devil wants me to think. And that these thoughts, listen to me, these thoughts are not coming from the devil. Don't blame the devil. I don't believe the devil can read my mind. I don't believe that. Those thoughts are coming out of your own mind. Coming out of your own mind. Now, roll over, go back to sleep. In the name of Jesus Christ. You must interrupt your thoughts by verbalizing the promises of God. Shout no! Three of you are listening. Maybe my time's up. Shout no! Come on, shout no! When those thoughts come, I'm driving my car. I'm listening to praise worship. And the goodness of God comes up. Terrible song. Terrible song. I cry every time I listen to it. brings me right back to my emotions.
Oh God, you've been so good to me my whole life. I know, it's so good. You're so good. With the moment I wake up, I'm going to sleep. Oh God, you're so good.
And here come the thoughts. Here come the thoughts. And I shout out loud in the name of Jesus, no! Devil, you're a liar. In Jesus' name, she'll live and not die and declare the glory of God. I decree that she's healed and she's raised up in Jesus' name. Boy, you don't want to drive with me. You don't want to drive with me. I think people watching me must think I'm listening to rock music or rap music or something. But I'm rapping. I'm rapping. I'm going after that devil. I'm going after those thoughts. I refuse to lie because I know I've got to get control of them. Got to get control of them. I know how to do it now. I know how to do it. I go, no! Sorry about that for those who are listening. Probably distorted. In the name of Jesus, she's healed. He sent his word and healed her and raised her up. And I decree that she's healed in the name of Jesus. And I replace any negative thought, any negative imagination. I call her healed. I refuse. I take authority over that fear. I take authority over that unbelief. I will not allow you to stay in my mind. I reject you in the name of Jesus. And I deliberately speak out what God's word said about the situation. Because I'm standing on the word of God. And I will not allow my thoughts to be taken captive. Oh my, if your thoughts get taken captive, you'll be dragged down the dirt road and you will miss the miracle God's got for you. You'll miss the promises of God and you will not receive. You will not receive. Well, I think I've said enough for this week with you guys. So, thank you. Appreciate it. When you pray about Jackie, decree and declare, she's healed in Jesus' name. Do not pray for her healing, please. If you pray for her healing, you're in unbelief, and it won't work. We already believe she's healed, so we're not going to pray for the same thing again. We believe she is healed. Amen? We get a picture of her being down the front here worshiping God with us. That's the picture we see. Amen? That's the picture we see. Continue to pray for my strength. And for the wisdom of God in this situation, because I've learned a heck of a lot in this terrible time. But I thank God that my heart was open to receive his instruction. I think about you a lot, pray for you, even in hospital. All right.